Good morning. It's great to see all of you. If you've been with us for the last couple of weeks, you know we've been going through a series entitled Unexpected. And so my thought, though, was there's probably some of you who haven't been here every weekend, or you asked your mom or your grandma or your aunt or your spouse and said to them, what do you want to do for Mother's Day? And you said, go to church. And so you're here today. And we welcome you. We're excited to have you here and blessing your moms. And so what I want to do is really quickly give you a little update about where we're at and where we're going today. This Unexpected series has been about listening to God's voice. We learned about what was it like to hear Jesus' voice and what happened when someone heard his voice. And God's touch. What happened when Jesus touched someone or when Jesus looked at someone? And what we came across and what we learned about was there was healing and there was grace and there was hope in all of the people who came across and ran across Jesus. And as I sat on my seat and listened to the series, I was thinking about Mother's Day. I knew it was coming. I knew I would be up here. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, the unexpected for me has been that I've seen Jesus through my mom and through so many women in my life, how through their touch and through their look and through their love and then through their voice, we actually experience Jesus. I don't know that we always expect that that's what we're going to get, but we have. And so today, it is about Mother's Day, but I also want to recognize all the other women who maybe don't have children or they're not our biological moms. But we would say Happy Mother's Day to you because you're pouring into other lives. The women who spend their time talking to the Lord, praying for us, encouraging us, touching us, and just pouring into the lives of others, you too I want to recognize today. Because in the pictures on the title slide, my mom's on there, but I think about my secretary who has poured into my life for the last 10 years that I've been here and just probably doesn't realize, well, I've probably told her, that she is my second mom, or my best friend as my sister in Christ, who I can count on at any time, and how important it is to know that just because they're not my biological mom doesn't mean that I actually don't think about them on this day. And so what we want to do is recognize those, but we also want to take this series and wrap it up today and look at how we see the love and touch of voice of Jesus through other people. In Deuteronomy 6, it says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be upon your hearts. Impress them upon your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. See, I think a lot of times I've heard this verse only in the sense of being a parent. But I think about the times where I've walked along the road, or I've been in this lobby or out on the patio and people have talked about Jesus or encouraged me or just looked at me and I knew that that was a look of approval. And that I think about the times that my daughter would not go to sleep no matter what I bribed her with. And my best friend would lay down with her and sing songs about Jesus to her and encourage her that it would be okay and love on her. It takes a village, we joke, to raise a child. It takes a couple villages if you're me. It's not easy. We need each other. And I love how the Bible illustrates this after Mary was told that she would be carrying God's son and that she would give birth to this child and that she was chosen. And if you've ever read it and you keep going past the part where she finds out and she says that she will do whatever God wants her to do. In Luke 1, it reads in verse 39, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Elizabeth was her cousin, and all I can think is she just found out the most life-changing thing ever. An angel appeared to her. That was huge enough. But then to find out that you're going to carry God's son, you're going to give birth to Jesus, what does she do? She grabs her stuff and she runs to family. And she takes off because when we have great news or we have struggles or we have joy or we just need prayer or encouragement, we need each other. And so it's important today to remember those people that come to mind. Some of you are probably thinking about them, who encourage us on a regular basis. So the first thing we're going to look at is the look of encouragement and love. Think about the look of encouragement and love. Think about what that would look like. Think about your mom. She gives you that look. What did that look tell you? I mean, for some of us, she could shoot you a look and you're like, I should just stop moving. Or she could give you another look and you realize, okay, she means it right now. But there's also those looks where you know that no matter what she says, that she loves you. And so I think about this look. Now, I don't know what she's saying, but you do think she's listening probably to a child or to her husband or someone and thinking, what in the world? Or what about the next look? That look of, this is just not good. I guess that's what that look is. But I love this next one. Because it's the look that says without words, I'm happy for you. I'm encouraged. There's hope. And there's this moment where you realize when you look at your children that you don't have to always say something. I remember the time that my mom looked at me and she had so much encouragement and love in her eyes. But I kid you not, what came out of her mouth was not what I was looking for. And I thought to myself, she didn't say it out of anger. She didn't say it because she didn't love me. The look was of encouragement and of hope. But the words that followed were ones that I just had to deal with. She said it in love. And I think we see this and we read this in Mark 10. Where the rich young ruler comes to Jesus and says, what can I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus gives him the commandments. And the rich young ruler says, but I've been doing that since I was young. And in verse 21, it says, Jesus looked at him and loved him. He looked at him and loved him. And then he went on to say to him some very difficult words. And that is, you need to sell off everything, give to the poor. And the thing was, is that look, looking right at him in his eyes and loving him, he heard tough words, but he knew. I have to believe that he knew that Jesus didn't say it because he was angry with him. He didn't say it because he was putting him down. He was saying it in love, no matter how hard it is. And if you've read the story, the rich young ruler leaves sad because it's difficult to do what he was asking him to do. But it was done in love. And so the look that we give people, the eye contact that we make is so important. Think about the person who doesn't look at you when they talk to you. You wonder if they're really telling you the truth. Think about the person that you speak to and you're waiting for an answer. And when they answer you, they're looking at the television. You wonder if they're fully, really engaged or caring. And I know our thought processes. We think negative when someone doesn't give us their attention or if we think that they're not really interested in what we have to say. And so that eye contact, we read so much in body language and on those facial expressions. It's so important. But I think we have to remind ourselves too that how we look at one another, giving them the look in their eyes and the respect and the love, it doesn't mean that it's going to follow with just what they want to hear. It's easy to be able to give correction and to love someone through with grace and mercy if you're looking at them. Because you're giving them hope. Because when we look at them, we're telling them, you can do this. But just like Jesus did, it was up to the rich young ruler to make his choice. But he loved them no matter what. In 1 Timothy 4:12, it says, don't let anyone look down on you because you are young, but set an example for the believers in speech, in conduct, and in love, in faith, and in purity. And so I think to myself, we use this with our young people. I love seeing them up here. Young people have so much to remind us and to show us. And that childlike faith, and that is important. But I think to myself, I will always be younger than my mom. We will always be younger than someone. And so I think to myself, you children, me as a child of God, I always need to walk with that look of encouragement and with love and with hope and with the belief that Jesus always is on the move and he's constantly working in people's lives and he wants to love on them and bring them into the kingdom of God. And so this is going to be one of those services where there's a lot going on, but I encourage you to just press in, give thanks to Jesus and to the people that you love as you watch this.
Good morning. My name is Garrett Layden, and I'm in seventh grade at Coastal Christian School. It's right over there. And it's my privilege to talk to you today about moms and God's touch of grace and mercy. As Ephesians 2, 8 through 9 says, "For it is by grace that you have been saved, through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." This is saying that grace is a divine means of help or strength given through the bounteous mercy and love of God. So grace is a gift that is not expected, it's unexpected. In Psalm 84, 11 says, "For the Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows grace and glory. No good thing does he withhold from those whose walk is blameless. How can we be blameless?" So this is saying also that the Lord gives grace and mercy to those that he loves and to those that he calls according to his purpose. An example of grace is in Acts 4:32-34. "All the believers were in one heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to testify to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And God's grace was so powerfully in work at them that there was no needy persons among them. From time to time, those who owned land or houses sold them, brought the money from the sales, and put it at the apostles' feet. And it was distributed to anyone who had need." So grace is giving people things that they don't deserve. Like the apostles gave the money that to people that were needy, but maybe they didn't deserve that money. Maybe they were wanted as criminals. Maybe they had not been good to people, but they gave it to them anyway because the Lord God was so powerfully in work in them. It's truly the grace of God that makes salvation possible. As it says in the hymn, Amazing Grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. Without grace, Jesus couldn't have died on the cross. We would not be here today. We could not have the privilege to call ourselves Christians because God's grace is what makes him and allows him to love us and allows us to love him back and for us to have a personal relationship with him. Amen. And now mercy. Mercy is withholding punishment or something from someone who deserves that punishment, from someone who did something wrong. As it says in Psalm 51:1, "Have mercy on me, O God, according to your unfailing love. According to your great compassion, blot out my transgressions." So that's saying that mercy is withholding punishment or something from someone who has done something wrong. And that's how God withholds his wrath from us, because he loves us and because he can blot out our transgressions because of mercy. Psalm 4:1, "Answer me when I call to you, my righteous God. Give me relief from my distress. Have mercy and hear my prayer." So that's when God hears us, is because he loves us, and he can now hear us because of grace and mercy. Amen. So now for touch. I just love touch. My love language is touch. I love when people around me touch me, and I know my mom's always willing to give me a hug, or people in my life. But our touch spiritually brings sin, as it says in Leviticus 5:2-5. "If anyone becomes aware that they are guilty, if they unwillingly touch anything ceremonially unclean, whether the carcass of an unclean animal or of any unclean creature that roams the earth, and they are unaware that they have become unclean, or if they touch human cleanliness, anything that would make them unclean and they are unaware of it, or if anyone thoughtlessly takes an oath to do anything, whether good or evil, or they are unaware of it, but then they learn of it and realize their guilt, if anyone has done any of these matters, they must confess in the way that they have sinned. So our touch brings guilt and sin, whether physically, mentally, or spiritually. Physically, if you're doing something, if you're touching someone in an unclean way, that brings sin. Mentally, if you're thinking a thought that is unclean, that also brings sin. Spiritually, if you don't follow God, if you're not a Christian, that brings sin as well. But the best part about this is that his touch brings healing. In Mark 6:56, it says, "And wherever he went, he meaning Jesus, into villages, towns, or countryside, they placed the sick in the marketplaces. They begged him to let them touch even the edge of his cloak, and all who touched it were healed." In Mark 8:22, it says, "They came to Bethsaida, and some people brought a blind man and begged Jesus to touch him. He took the blind man by the hand and spit on his eyes. Jesus asked, 'Do you see anything?' The man looked up and said, 'I see people. They are walking around like trees.' Once more, Jesus put his hands on the man's eyes. Then the man's eyes were opened, his sight was restored, and he was healed." Jesus' touch brings sight, physical and spiritual sight. Physically, you were blind, but now I see. Spiritually, you can be spiritually lost. You can be lost in your transgressions and in your sin. But when Jesus loves you, when you bring yourself to his feet, he gives you sight and you can see. Some benefits of grace and mercy. As Proverbs 22:11 says, "One who loves with a pure heart and who speaks with grace will have the king as a friend." John 1:16, "Out of his fullness we will receive grace, out of grace already given." So this is saying that you can receive grace. The more grace that you give, the more you will receive, and you have more to give away and more to receive. So my mom is definitely the biggest grace giver in my life. Also mercy. I used to have like thousands of Legos. It was like a battlefield in my room. And I always kept like the stickers. Instead of sticking them on the Legos, I had like a big pile of them. I had just gotten a new dresser, and I decided it would be an excellent idea to stick all of them on my new dresser. And fortunately, as I was in the midst of sticking them on my dresser, my mom came in, and she told me, "Hey, you need to stop doing this." So I started taking them off, and you know, as I was taking them off, I was like, "Uh-oh, she's gonna tell Dad." And I asked her not to tell my dad, and she said, "Yes, I will not tell him, and you're off the hook." So that was mercy. Definitely. And as I was pulling the stickers off, it left little white marks on the dresser, and she helped me scrape them off. That was grace. And my dad just learned last night, this was maybe 3 years ago, my dad just learned last night that this had all happened. He had no idea. And so there's some other people in my life who have also shown me grace and mercy. My Bible teacher, Mrs. Paulding, is amazing to me. She's an amazing example of grace and mercy. When all the boys in my class are talking, including me, she always helps us, and she loves to talk to me about my faith, just take me aside and talk to me about what's going on, and she helped me prepare for this right now, and I love her for that, so she's awesome. And also my grandma, she loves also to take me aside and talk to me about my faith. She always shows me grace and mercy. And I remember she always makes the best pancakes. And so she had this big bowl of batter. And I decided, again, one of my great inspirations. When she was gone and the pot was hot, I decided to pour all the batter in the pan and make this big, huge, fun pancake. So she came in as the batter was already in there and starting to settle, and she just laughed. And I love that. That was totally mercy. And I just wish that today I could just laugh at some of the things that people do to me. I could just walk in, see them doing something, and just laugh and have mercy on them. So divine grace is needed by every soul because of the fall of man and the sin, and also because of our constant weaknesses and shortcomings. However, grace cannot suffice without total effort on the part of the recipient. So we need to be open to let God's grace and mercy flow into us. Acts 20:22-24 says, "And now, compelled by the Spirit, I am going to Jerusalem, not knowing what will happen to me there. I only know that in every city, the Holy Spirit warns me that prison and hardships are facing me. However, I consider my life worth nothing to me. My only aim is to finish the race and complete the task the Lord Jesus has given me, the task of testifying to the good news of God's grace." That's Paul talking, and that's what we also need to do today, is to just be open to God's grace and mercy. And once he flows that in, and he will when you're open, that you give it out to other people and testify to God's grace. I just like to thank my mom and the ladies that you've seen for the touch of grace and mercy in my life. Thank you.
So last week we heard from Pastor Vince about the voice of Jesus. And we heard about how Jesus crossed all man-made boundaries. And he did it in love, and he did it because he was here for those who were broken and needed him. And I think about the voice and what it must have been like to actually stand before him and hear him talk. And so now we're going to look at the last point, which is the voice of prayer and hope. Because in that story where Pastor Vince was talking about the Samaritan woman, he also talked about his own experience, about not wanting to do something but feeling a nudge from God. Not really wanting to visit his uncle, but then it kept coming up. And he attributed that to God just giving him a nudge and hearing his voice in his own way. And it made me think about the times that people, I've said whatever it is going on in my life, and they've just all of a sudden started praying and said, it wasn't like, I'll pray for you later. Or, yeah, I'll pray about that, and they move on. It was, let's do it right now. And I love the power that there is in prayer, because sometimes we'll have people pray for us and they will just, it sounds like we're just going to sit down and do this really casual thing and we use our normal voice. And then it's like when we start talking to Jesus, we start getting riled up and we start becoming confident and we speak with more authority. And it's almost like we feel this joy that fills us because we know we're at the right place at the right time. And so that voice that we hear through our moms and through other women, through everyone in this room who's ever prayed for another person, that unexpected moment where you realize, I think God might be talking to me. You might not know that you're speaking for him, but it penetrates our hearts and our minds, and we know that there's no way someone could be praying so on the mark. It's got to be God. In James 5:16, it says the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. The power of the Holy Spirit that comes and fills us. We can pray for anyone, but when we really press in, when we really sit and come at the feet of Jesus and say, I don't know what the heck to do with this, but I know you do. Life is out of control and I don't know what to do. I know you do. And it's amazing to me that we could walk up to so many people in this room and ask for prayer. And the first thing that we would hear from many of you would be, Dear Lord, or Jesus, or God. The very first words, have you ever really thought about how people start their prayers? It's like we're making a declaration, this is who I'm talking to. We don't say, hey, so-and-so. We literally start off our prayers making sure that our mind is focused on him. In Psalm 5:3, it says, In the morning, O Lord, you hear my voice. In the morning, I lay my request before you and wait in expectation. The voice is not just those that we hear from our moms or those that we trust, but it's also those times where we lay before him everything and then we sit and we wait to see if we find direction or hear his voice or feel that nudge like Pastor Vince was talking about. But it's not just always talking and letting it out, but it's reminding ourselves to sit and be still, because he's always moving and he's always speaking and he's always working on our behalf. And I think about the times in the morning where my husband and I have sat down, knowing that my daughter was going through different stages of life, knowing that we don't know what we're doing, and just taking those moments and saying, God, we're giving her to you, because as parents, it is literally a privilege to be able to say that we can raise her. We're not really sure why you trust us with her, but we also know that it's only you who can help her, who can guide her, who can correct her and lead her in the right way. And that's true for all of us. We are all children of God. Whether we have our own biological children or not, I think about some of my best friends who have no kids. They are making a tremendous impact in my daughter's life. For him, their goal is just to remind them all the time with their voice, with their look, with their touch, that Jesus has got this, that I can encourage you all I want. I can speak words of love. I can pray for you. I can bring you and all that I know to the cross. And yet at the same time, I have to set you free. And it's your choice to walk out your individual faith with him. Today, as Garrett's preaching, it is incredible to me how God uses young people. All of us in this room are at different stages of life, going through different things. And I feel like in the moment he's bringing the word of God, he's explaining to us what it is. And you can tell by just the way he's saying it, he knows. We all come to that place, no matter where we're at, that we can know the Father one-on-one, and it pours out of us. In 1 John 5:14, this is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. Amen. He hears us. Yes. There is nothing, whether you sit down formally or you pray, or you drive in your car and you're just talking to him. People tell me sometimes, they're like, yeah, I ask him, hey, did you really see that? Hey, did you notice that? And I think to myself, you're praying. I know you're trying to be flippant, but you're talking to God. I'll give kudos to that. He does, and because I bet you he's up there going, yeah, I see it. Yes. And yes, I see you, and I hear you, and I'm working on your behalf. So I think about the people in our lives. You could take all three of this out in this series and realize that the people who are loving Jesus, who are pouring into our lives, are the people who look at us. They notice us. They see us. Even when we don't want to be seen, they're looking for us. They speak into our lives. They pray for us. They pray for us when we don't even know it. My husband and I, this week we're having dinner, and I told him of someone who came to me and said, I don't know why I've been praying for you and your family, but I have. And we have been going through a really hard time. And it just broke him. Because we realize we're not on our own. And so I think about the touch, not my love language, but definitely my husband's love language. But I think to myself, as much as it's not my love language, I need it. I need the person who reaches out and prays. And I told this last night. Garrett was nervous in the worship team. It was awesome. He said, let's gather around him and lay hands on him and pray for him. And just to hear the voice and to feel the touch, and to know that we were petitioning to God the Father to bring his word and his work and to bless those moms and the women in our lives. It was amazing. So what I want to do is ask Garrett to come back up. And what we would like you to do right now is, if you are a mom, we would like to ask you to stand. And if you cannot stand, raise your hand high. And as you see all these incredible women, we are asked that you reach out and we're going to touch them. We're going to pray for them. Anyone that's near you, please reach and put a hand on them. And Garrett is going to lead us in a prayer for all moms.
Dear God, I just thank you for today. I just thank you that we all have the privilege to gather together and just to honor these women who have just touched every single one of our lives. I thank you for them and just what a blessing that they are to all of us. I thank you that they are here right now and just how they have blessed everyone, whether they know it or they don't, and that we have all been blessed by them. God, I thank you for them. I thank you that you have chosen them and that you have a special place for them in your kingdom. God, I also ask that you bless the new pastor, God, that you have chosen him out and you have made him clear. I just pray that you bring him up in your word, God. Just bless us all today. Thank you, in Jesus' name.
So as you leave today, we invite you to celebrate Mother's Day. Out on the patio, you will see different photo booth areas. There are Mother's Day signs. We're also serving cake. But give someone a hug, look at them, and encourage them, and have a happy Mother's Day.